It's great to have Mark with us. He spoke at our men's retreat, and we had a great time. I'm sure he'll tell you a little bit about it. I've known Mark for a long time. And maybe going on a couple decades. And Mark and his church, New Day Church, are vitally connected with us in our work in Oaxaca. And he is part of our church family and ministers to us often. So, Mark, it's great to have you here. Would you please welcome him this morning?
I'm telling you, it's great to be with friends this morning. It really is. Thank you. Some have asked where my wife is, and she's good. She's okay. I left a week ago and picked Pastor Jess up, and we went to Idaho for a pastor's gathering together, and then we came back to Lake Roosevelt and met with the men of Faith Community and a New Day Church, and we just had a great time in the wilderness. It's just awesome to be together. I so appreciated getting to know some of the new folks that came, as well as those who came last year. And we came back yesterday, and here I am today. We're going to go sea kayaking, from Crescent Bar down to Vantage tomorrow, Pastor Jess and I. So it's a full day, and although that, we couldn't fit Carmen in the kayak, so she decided to fly home. No. If you're visiting this morning and you wanted to hear the pastor of Faith Community Church, here's what God has in mind for you. God wanted you to experience the worship and the presence of God today. And part of this message also might be for you, but God just wants you to come back more than once. So would you do that? Would you promise me that? Oh, that'd be good. One of the worship songs that we sang this morning, one of the phrases was, "Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful?" That just brought a smile to my face. Would you say that? And when you say the word wonderful, notice what happens to your mouth. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? You smile, don't you? You sure do. Say it again. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Lord, as we hold that full in the wonderful, would you broaden, would you deepen how very wonderful you are? How when Jesus becomes real and known to us, it's more than just a little better. It's more than just getting out of a jail-free card. It's more than just having a better life. It is wonderful. And as we open up your word with the revelation of what you offer us in Christ, would you just begin to dispense it, deepen it, broaden it, and make yourself truly, truly wonderful. And everybody said, amen. Well, this morning, I think you have some notes that have been passed out. So we're going to talk about living life without fear. Fear seems to be fairly universal. And more than likely it's sort of couched in things and experiences that are both awesome and somehow fear gets in there. Like, for instance, when we had our first child, he's going to turn 33 tomorrow. And his name is Joshua. And we thought, this is the coolest thing in the world. We're parents! This is awesome! And then we tried to swaddle him, and I, as I'm trying to get that thingy in the crease and fix so he could just be happy, I'm not getting it so well, and I'm thinking, wow, this is a little serious. There's a little bit more to watching my wife have a child and parenting. And then we get to the car seat. Come on. Are you feeling my pain? I had no idea. I mean, strap the kid in. Come on, let's go. No. 10 minutes later, we're still working on that thing. Oh, you know, intercession begins immediately. Call out to God. We repent of everything we can think of, and the car seat still, it's just there. So, yeah, that dynamic between, this is awesome, and oh God, please help me. And we live in this. I was asked to be the pastor of the church I grew up. 37 years ago, this next month, and it was at the age of 3, so you can do the math to figure out how old I was, a little older than that, and 37 years ago, and I thought it was humbling, but it was a privilege. It was like, you know, they watch this kid grow up, and they actually want him to lead the church, and I, you know, I was thinking with my wife, and Jesus, we got this, we could do this. And then I was reminded fairly quickly that our church was being sued to the tune of $120,000. And this is 37 years ago, so you times that by 5 kids. I don't know how you do the math on that, David. I don't know what it's like today, but that's a lot of money. And we owed our people that took out bonds for a building that ended up being foreclosed in of $80,000. And I don't know what that is today, but the fear of man took over. And that first day of work, awesome. First hour of work, oh God, help me. We live in this. I mean, it's in the natural, it's in the spiritual. I remember my brother and I, we kayaked from Kettle Falls down to the casino boat launch down on Lake Roosevelt, 60 miles. And so in order to do that with one vehicle, one car, we took some 1980 Honda 350 in the back of the pickup. We left it at the casino parking lot, drove the kayaks all the way up to Kettle Falls, and then kayaked down in 3 days. And it was my job. It was my son's bike, so it was my job to get on that bike and go 60 miles back to Kettle Falls, get the pickup, and come back and get the kayaks. And I thought, and I hadn't been on a motorcycle really at all. And so I was thinking, I got 60 miles of wind in my hair. And I started out and immediately saw some turkeys and some deer. And I thought, oh man, this is easy rider, baby. Come on. This is going to be fun. I guess that was a too old of a reference for many of you. And so here I'm in the 350 and just thinking, this is going to be the best hour of my life. Then it dawned on me, this is a very old bike with very old tires that have very large cracks in them. And do you know what happened in my soul, in my spirit? Well, do you know what happened to the throttle? It went from 60 to about 20. And then it took over my soul, and I just almost became debilitated. My heart started to beat. I started to freak out. I started to go through all the what ifs and what my sorry body would look like with skid marks on it. And so I had this little prayer that was fairly deep. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. This is a scary proposition. And I had this sense very quickly, well, you can either trust me and enjoy the ride, or you can freak out for the next 55 minutes. It's your choice. And it sort of was a revelation, like, it is a choice. I still might crash, but it's a choice. No, I mean, let's get serious. I mean, yeah. I mean, just because you trust God doesn't mean, you know, bad stuff doesn't happen. Seriously. But I could enjoy and I could trust God, or I could freak out. And you know, in Christ, we have the opportunity to put fear behind us through Jesus and live without fear. And the presence of God, and fear is like ubiquitous, I think I can say that. I mean, it happens. We had a gal that was afraid to come into church, afraid of church buildings, because bad things happen in church buildings to her. We have a little guy in our family who is afraid of birthdays, his, because everybody's looking at him. I said, he doesn't like birthday parties. Weird. Well, maybe not weird. Because fear is ready to grab hold. Fear is not from God. Fear is a residue of Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned. They ran away and hid from God because they were, everybody, afraid. And we've been running away from God ever since. In the natural and the spiritual, one guy walked into our church and he was wearing a suit, which is rather unusual. But because one gal was molested by a guy wearing a suit who was a pastor, she freaked out. Boom! And she was saved. But she did not feel safe. She was afraid. It's amazing how much fear is, you know, taken hold of our lives in various forms and various ways. Fears of events, fears of certain people, fears of places. My son doesn't like to go to the airport at SeaTac because it's just too congested. He just kind of has a panic attack. This morning I woke up early and I knew I had been dreaming, and it wasn't nice, happy dreams. Every dream was about you forgot something, you're not prepared, and I was having the typical pastoral dream, you know, this is going down fast. But really, I had all these other little dreams, and as I thought about them, those events weren't real, those people, those situations, but I became afraid. Oh my gosh. And even in the Christian life, we get Jesus, but that doesn't mean the fear goes boop. We can kind of limp through with Jesus and still feel like we got the anchor of fear, right? And this is actually, you know, we can look at the Bible, and we are. So it was Jacob, Genesis chapter 28, verse 16 through 17, now the English Standard Version, and he had this encounter with God's presence. I mean, you might be here today, and you might be swinging from, wow, I've never been in a place like this, or God is really real, and oh my God, he knows all my stuff, and then draw back, or run and hide, like a son or daughter of Adam or Eve. Amen? Yeah? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it, and Jacob was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? Well, Jacob, what is it? Well, he's having this encounter of God, and he's not sure. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is where God's stuff happens. Yeah, I know. And I feel ill-prepared. I feel ill-equipped. How many can relate to that? Absolutely. Do you know who prepares us and equips us? It really is the person of Jesus. Amen. So this morning I want to quickly get to the story of Zechariah. Zechariah was a father, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Luke chapter 1, father of John the Baptist. Previously, they went to an Episcopalian church. But as he started baptizing, it was kind of hard to say John the Episcopalian, so change it into Baptist. Just a thought. That one's not in your Bible? It probably isn't, because I just thought it sounded interesting. So Zechariah, one day, he was a priest, he was a Levite, and he was going to church. Can we put it in that kind of language? He was serving God. And he had this encounter. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, bullseye, hey Zach, don't be afraid. So here's what the angel said to him. It's actually in your Bible. It's not up there because it's too long. But Luke chapter 1, and it was all good news. And what we'll see at the end of this is that do not be afraid thing didn't really help him. So the angel said to him, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Now, wouldn't that cause you to rejoice? Hey, this is the gate of heaven. This is where God's stuff happens. God's hearing my prayer, and he's answering it today. This ain't helping. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. So far, that's okay. He will be a joy, a delight to you. But I'm still afraid. And many will rejoice because of his birth. I don't care what everybody else is doing. It's about me and I'm freaking out. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. Good for him. He will never take wine or other fermented drink, okay? And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, got that? Many of the people of Israel will be brought back to the Lord and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God hasn't spoken to anybody in 400 years. And Zechariah's response is, I'm afraid. And Zach asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Huh. Notice what Zechariah keyed in on. When you're afraid, you lose focus of the big picture. When somebody says, like a doctor, you've got cancer, the rest of the conversation is blah, 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 and everything just kind of goes dark. Sure does. Zechariah, I've got good news. I'm a little stuck on the baby thing. And fear makes us myopic, closed. We close down all of the grace and the goodness of God. It would be like, so let's translate this in, if you receive Jesus, how many promises come with Jesus? All of them, like a lot, right? 498, thank you. Awesome. Because I was going to have to take off my shoes and count, and it was just going to get weird. Okay, a lot. But if I carry fear into Jesus, what happens to those 498 promises? I might get one of them or none of them. Do you get this? Yeah. Oh, I'm free in Jesus. Well, that's what the song says. I don't have freedom because I'm afraid. Parts of my life. The pastor says, you can be baptized and you come under the blood of Jesus and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you go, what comes with that? You mean I have to go up in front of everybody? It helps. I'm uncomfortable. And do you see how we just shut down the movement of Jesus? And then a great promise, like God is a provider, which usually is attached to give your tithe. That brings fear into the heart of everyone with a pocketbook. Not my money. So here we are. So this is interesting. So how can I be sure of this? I mean, you've given me a lot to think and a lot to consider. And this Jesus, 490 promises. This is a lot of promises. And are they all for me? So just kind of work with me here. Zechariah says this, and the angel answered Zechariah and said in verse 19, I am Gabriel. It's nice to have a first name with an angel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Hey, Zach, this is what God's talking about in heaven. This is what God has initiated in heaven. This is what God has activated in heaven. I've been in his presence. This is already a done deal. But because Zach is covered in fear, entrenched in 40 years of God not working with anybody, and it's like you coming into Christ, and it's like, you know, you haven't got it before, and now you're supposed to get it. And I don't care, even if you grew up in church, you're still kind of going, this is all really fuzzy. I'm supposed to be a Christian, but what does that really mean? I go to church? No, more. 480? Yeah, lots. And God wants to take us in that journey, and we're going, I don't know. Not sure. But all of God's promises, Pastor, are in Christ. And he's looking for the amen from us. Like, that's right, because that's God's will. That's my will. I'm going for it. Amen. Instead, he gets a yeah, but. It's like a child. We're going to Disneyland. Awesome. We're going to fly down there, land. It's going to be great. And a child, you know, think of a child. He's just like, he's been told what the promise is. We go to how the promise is going to happen. What if a child did that? Let's use 4 or 5 years old. Well, Dad, have you actually, you know, changed your oil recently? Is the gas filled up because it's a long way to SeaTac? When's the last time you put the air in the tires? You know, did you put your cell phone in the bucket so you won't be beeped and scanned and then have a body cavity search or whatever? I mean, did you really think this through? I mean, if you don't wear a belt, you know, then you won't have to take it off and slip on shoes. Dad, have you thought about this? And that came out of your 4 or 5 years. Who are you? But do you see how it stalls out? Do you see what creeps in? When your Bible is God's word and God's word is God's will and every promise of that is for you. Without fear. Ah, big breath. So how did Zechariah get out? Oh, by the way. So the angel said, hey, Zach, because you're not working with me here, you're going to be silent, this is verse 20, and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time. Zach, this is a done deal, but it's a little bit of a lesson that won't hurt in the end, but okay? And here's what the Holy Spirit kind of highlighted for me. When you live in fear as a believer, you lose your voice. Wow. Jesus? You're not talking much about him. Oh, you might be listening, but you're not talking. Why? Because fear shuts the message down, shuts the hope down, shuts the grace down, shuts the impossible becoming possible down, shuts the life down, shuts the promises down, and you lose your voice. You lose your voice in your family. You lose your voice in your neighborhood. You lose your voice in your work and in the world. Are you a Christian? Go to church? Yeah, I do. Sometimes. Somebody asks you about Jesus. All of a sudden, you lose your voice. What do I say? Yeah. You just live that shut down life. So, that's the bad news. Let's get to the good news. Everybody said amen? So, we got 9 months or so, right, in this story, okay, before John the Episcopalian John the Baptist is born. And so John is silent. Check this out. Check this out. John is silent, and in verse 61 they say, verse 59. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. Zechariah Jr., Zechariah the second, Zechariah, whatever, okay? And his mother spoke up and said, no, she's the talking part of the group. John's still silent. Huh? Yeah, Zechariah is silent, and Elizabeth is the talking part. Yes, I don't know what I said, but... No, he's to be called John. They didn't believe her. They said, no one among your relatives has that name. And so they made signs to his father, which is interesting. Why would you make signs to someone who only couldn't talk? Maybe he couldn't hear either. When you're living in fear, when somebody says cancer... You can't hear a word. When somebody says, this is God's promise for you, is it yours? Because it comes from the throne of heaven, because it's already a done deal. So they made motions, signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing table, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. 64. Immediately, his mouth was open, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak and praise God. How do we get out of living in fear? Agree with God and His Word. Seriously. It's God's Word. It comes from His presence. You have a copy of it. It's His will, which is His way for you, not just in some general sense, but specifically for you. How many promises? Every promise for you. You know, I'm a fairly simple man. Trust me. And so when I started pastoring, I was educated in Bible college, but I did, you know, when you have all that stuff going on and you're the pastor, woo-hoo, I just read my Bible and I said, I'm banking that you're the same God. He said, trust me. Okay. No other option. I'll help you. I wasn't the five-year-old kid saying, are you aware that they scan you and take off your cell? No. I just said, okay. Here's what you do. I did it. Lawsuit. $6,000 from 120. I did what he said. We paid off $80,000 to our own people within months. Because we agreed with God. And that's not even a promise that's in the Bible. Think about the love of God. I know that sounds so general. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's general until what? You believe that God loves you. And then you go to John chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18. Check this out. This is awesome. Because you agreed with God that God is love. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And love is made complete in you. He says a couple other things. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, and the woman who fears, is not made perfect. But to switch it around, the person who believes the word, believes the promise, believes that God loves him or her, regardless of what you did or didn't do, or were or weren't, where you come from, what it's like, God loves me, period. You're not having to go after fear, love. Love reverses the curse that happened in Genesis chapter 3. We're putting an end to this. We're putting an end to 400 years of silence. This same thing happened when God spoke to Moses, didn't it? We're ending the 400 years of slavery, and it starts with you. Please use somebody else. Zechariah, I'm here. This is going to be awesome. I'm afraid. What else did you say? I didn't catch you. And you come to Christ. We're ending this here. We're ending darkness. We're starting grace. We're starting life. We're starting freedom. We're starting joy unspeakable. We're starting all the promises. Ready, begin. In Christ, in you. And that's meant to be the demarcation. Fear leaves. The love of God comes, and the fear just goes. Because when you know you're loved, you don't live in fear. We got this because he got this. Yeah. And be a simple, be a childlike reader of God's word. Agree with God. Because you're agreeing with the will of God. You're agreeing with the presence of heaven, which is already being spoken and given to you. And as you grow up in that, is this promise for me? We say. No, it's for frogs. And only Episcopalians. No, just popped up, sorry. I mean, seriously, is this promise for me? Well, who else is it? Is this God's word for you? Out of heaven. And he's waiting for somebody to say, I'm going to agree with that. Beyond salvation, all of the promises. Oh! Sorry. Wow. Come on. Instead of being a good person, going to church, and just still feeling like the claws of hell are holding you back. Because fear is not from God. So agree with God. Here's a second point that will give us freedom. And that is, what is it? It is, in verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. What is this Holy Spirit that they keep talking about? And if you read your Bible, it's like a lot. It's like, Jesus is going to leave the planet and to to take what Jesus said and enable it to into reality, I'm going to leave my spirit. Let me say his spirit in a different way. The things that are being said in heaven, the will of God, the presence of God, given to you and to you and to you and to you. Oh, sorry. You don't need that. You can manage on your own. Not! You need his spirit. You mean Zechariah, he didn't say this, but I can imagine him saying, you mean Gabriel, the same spirit where you came from, the same place, the same word, the same stuff? And he began to be filled. He connected with that. And now he's walking. Now he's living. Now he's thinking. Now he's growing up. Oh, God said this. Oh, this is what he wants for us. Oh, this is awesome. And he begins to prophesy. This is a really long prophecy. It really is. And it's huge. I mean, there's so much in here. But God wants us to be, he wants us to take where Gabriel hung out at. He wants to put it in you, and to live in you. And if the Holy Spirit freaks you out, that's just your starting point. It's okay. I remember, I was like 13, maybe. Yeah, that's probably about right. And we were at one of those, youth meetings, and I brought my friend from the neighborhood. And I'm the church guy, and he's not. And so, come up and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they talked about speaking in tongues. And so I'm up there, and I'm just waiting on God like this. My friend taps me on the shoulder and says, you just need to do it. And I wanted to say, who are you? How do you know this stuff? It was like I was kind of just operating in fear. Well, not kind of. And I just began to receive the Holy Spirit, practice, and the fruit of the Spirit. Those dangly little fruits that God wants to be part of our character. Patience. Well, I'm out on that one. Obviously, that tree doesn't grow in my yard. Well, what if you just agreed with God's word that it's part of you and it can become you because Christ is becoming in you and you're becoming in him? Isn't that wonderful? It might take a long time. It's okay. It's wonderful. This is the last thing, and then we'll... So in this prophecy, verse 74, chapter 1, he says, God has enabled us to serve him without fear. Who got the memo on that one? Zechariah, I'm agreeing with God's word. I'm filled with the same spirit that is in heaven where Gabriel's listening to. I haven't been listening. Now I'm listening. Now I'm talking. Now I have a voice. And here's what the voice says to everyone who reads that. Life without fear. This is how God intended for you and I to live. When God or his presence or his angel showed up before this, including Zechariah, what was the common response? And they were afraid. Do you know when that ceased? Right then. When an angel came to Peter, he just kept sleeping. Paul, follow me. Okay. Nobody's freaking out at God in his presence or his angels or his Holy Spirit. They're just going, that's what I've been longing for. This marked a time. no more. We got some business, don't we? As we brought our fear in, and we didn't understand that one of the promises of God is that I love you so much, I want to take away your fear of flying, your fear of clowns. I just thought of that, you know. But it is, I know it is. But your fear of progress, your fear of not enough, your fear of shame, your fear of condemnation, your fear that your life doesn't matter, your fear that I can't. Should we do it? Should we get there? If Brenda, thank you. Worship team, thank you. I think we all just need to come on up. And if you're here this morning and you're on the outside looking into Jesus, how wonderful is that, that you were here for this message? Because not only do you get Jesus, and you were a little afraid, but now fear can be the very first component that leaves town. And for all of us who've dragged fear into Christ, Christ wants to come in with his love into that fear. And whether you got a little bit or you feel like you're oppressed on a regular basis, let's stand to our feet. Let's agree with God and his word. Thank you, Lord. As you're just waiting before you respond, God so loved you, and his perfect love, his way of living does not include fear. And this word is for you. This word is still for me. As evidently, I had dreams this morning, and I was suckered into responding to those for a bit. That's the truth. To become the people that Christ intended for his perfect love would drive out and cast out fear. Where we would become complete in him as we walk with him. He would highlight maybe some of those areas in our life, and you might have one today where it's highlighted. Oh, wow. I've kind of stalled out. It doesn't matter what it is. We bring fear into Christ, so let's come to the altar this morning. Let's just allow God to do his business. And we start agreeing with him in his word and start receiving his presence and start walking in a life without fear. So would you just come? Just come. Ready, begin. Come bring your fears. Come bring it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.